is happening. It's happening now. That happens is a thing that happens right now, because what just happened hasn't happened quite yet. That happens is the best podcast you'll get. Do you think you and I, Spencer, let's say you and I were contracted to be the first two people to go to Mars, and it was a 2-year mission. How long do you think before you and I are just straight up banging?
I don't know, man.
How long did you last?
I could last, I've lasted longer than I even feel comfortable talking about, you know, without too much of a problem. So I think I'm good. But, you know, like you have incredibly sexy armpits. So, you know, I'd be tempted to go to town, you know, pretty soon.
And they say that in space, no one can hear you cream. We'll be right back after this ad.
Do you know about these sea shanties, Jeff? The sea shanties that are tearing up TikTok?
I've only known that or witnessed it because of Stephen Colbert's late show. He's been all about the TikTok sea shanty. Was that an actual thing, or did he invent that and that took off?
I don't think he invented it, but there is just, everyone's like, oh, the sea shanties are taking over TikTok. But it's like this one viral TikTok took off with a sea shanty. And here's the thing that pisses me off, Jeff, is that it's not a sea shanty. You understand? It's a ballad. It's a ballad set to the theming of a sea shanty, but it's not a sea shanty. You know what a sea shanty is? It's a work song. It's a song that you use to keep time when a crew of people all has to work rhythmically together, you know, without losing pace. You can't do that with this fucking the sea shanty that's going across TikTok. It's a ballad. No self-respecting crew of, you know, sailorsmen is ever going to be singing the wellermen while they're fucking heaving ho to the mizzenmast or whatever. And, you know, if you tried to start one up, you'd be laughed out of the ship. You'd be laughed off a damn plank, you know? Like, it's ridiculous. Not a sea shanty. Not even tearing up TikTok. Just one.
So you're saying a sea shanty can't also be a ballad, the ballad of a seaman that went down with his ship or something like that? You can't also do a sea shanty and it'll also work as a sea ballad?
It could, but it would have to be formulated for the purposes of being a sea shanty. It, like, because that those have special functional requirements that they'd have to hit that it doesn't hit, you know? So if it's not going to keep time in
that
way.
So if you got a bunch of sailors that are, you know, manning the capstan and they're trying to hoist the
mizzenmast. Let's just say it.
I was going to say anchor, but there was a better word for it. It's been a long time since I've read these books. So you want a song that's kind of keeping the beat.
Mm-hmm.
So you're heaving and you're hoeing and you're yo-hoing and bottle of rumming and you're getting shit done.
And also everyone's kind of, I think everyone's singing it at the same time. Whereas in the Wellerman, it has kind of like a lead voice and then a chorus that everyone sings. So it's almost more like a drinking song or something, you know, but it's not a sea shanty, and I will die on this hill of waves. Is that something? Is that a naval term?
A hill of waves. That what you've done is you've become Herman Melville and you've described the sea as mountainous, and that's, now you become literary. You came in pretty strong with your delineation between what constitutes shanty versus ballad.
It just gets me so steamed when someone's like, oh, it's time for a shanty, and they bust out a fucking ballad formulated to resemble a shanty. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Also, as always, Spencer, our show, That Happens, is brought to you by Old Man Crittenden's Jasmine-Infused Root Beer.
I'm Old Man Crittenden, and my voice is different than it was last time because I've been drinking a new formula, now with rosemary. It gives just the hint and bite of spices and herbs that you remember from your mama's chicken recipes in the comfort of this beverage that I've formulated for you. Try some today, and remember, in every bottle, there's 3 teeth.
Jeff is drinking Fernet Branca, brought to you by Italy. Italy, we kicked Sicily into the Mediterranean Sea.
It did. Sicily kind of looks like Italy wiped off some poop off their boots.
Yeah, like a rumpled kind of scrap. Italy, it's okay to be racist against us. Italy, if you're looking for a target of casual, ironic racism but don't want to commit fully, try our country.
Italy, the stereotypes, they are accurate. Italy, if your car breaks down, nobody's coming because they're busy fucking or smoking somewhere. I love Italy so much. If I could transport myself anywhere right now, I would just be in almost any part of Italy. Maybe not Naples. Naples a little rough around the edges. We have a new sponsor. Papa Savarino's. Hey, Mama Savarino. It's me, your husband, Papa Savarino. Bienvenuto e buongiorno e buonasera. I want a divorce. What I'm trying to say is I want a divorce.
Oh, no. I don't want a divorce.
Okay, well, my lawyer is going to call you tomorrow.
You signed a prenup.
I know. It's the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. You know, the only mistake I didn't make was putting too much dough in my pizza. People love the too much dough.
Try our pizza today.
Papa Zaffarino, if you can still feel your right arm after eating one slice, it's free.
No, but okay. Do you have a song we could use for, or like a ticker tape kind of?
News time. It's Spencer's time for news.
That was so good. That's right. It's news time, and so in today's developments, the Nazis are at it again. So be careful out there. And that was me with the news.
That was Spencer's time for news. And now it's we're gonna go to our eye in the sky, Spencer, with traffic.
Well, it looks like everything's nice and clear on the 5 South. Looks like we got a bit of traffic on the 101 because it is, you know, the 101. That's just how it is. You know, folks at home might understand. It looks like on the 134 is actually pretty clear. So that might be a fun route for you. And look out on the 70. On the 70, it looks like there's a large 50-foot man sunbathing on the 3 and 4 lanes. So that could be a bit of fun or a bit of trouble depending on your perspective, but yeah, try and stay safe out there. Remember, don't text while driving. Back to you, Jeff.
Spencer's time for traffic, and now we're gonna go to Spencer Crittenden for Hollywood Beat.
Ooh, it's Hollywood Spencer. I'm coming in on the Walk of Fame, baby, and we're seeing what the stars are doing, all the jeers and jonts on Hollywood's famous square. It looks like I see Perez Hilton, who had two bags under his arms, and each bag was carrying a small child. Just absolutely hemorrhaging blood from their head. So looks like some method acting, getting into his famous role on the upcoming Child Toucher on Hollywood Moments. Back to you.
Spencer on Hollywood Beat. And final news item, we got Spencer Crittenden, our resident chess guru. I understand the last move that we made in our chess game, and I know our fans have been following along, we were nearing the end of the middle game, going towards the end game, and it was Black's move. Do you have a move for us, Spencer?
I think we got to go with Queen's Knight to K4 as part of our kind of ongoing movement to set up the Queen's Gambit, which is a real chess move, and it's really important. And it first popularized by Elizabeth Harmon. In the Queen's Gambit, but it turns out to actually be a stunning two-pronged attack that has absolutely devastated opponents from Bobby Fischer to that one Russian dude. So, you know, stay tuned to see if we can pull that off. It's taken the chess world by storm, almost as much as weird little kids with like Indiana Jones costumes. Back to you,
and
Jeff.
You can see the new podcast about Spencer's new new chess podcast called Elizabeth Harmontown.
Oh.
That's the end of the show. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is say that's the end of the show. And then we roll some credits, and Spencer, you take out some of those paper towels in the background, and Kevin eats his
his giant pizza
roll of bread.
Ooh, baby. Ha ha ha. Oh, we back at it again, boys. Ha ha ha. It's me and it's Spencer, and that's who me is, and it's Jeff Davis, and also we got Kevin Day here, babies. Welcome back to That Happens, the number one and the number only Harmontown recap episode podcast. That's right, we're gonna listen to all the episodes of Harmontown. Give us our hot takes, the inside information, get inside the minds of ourselves in the past.
It's the only podcast where we actually just replay another podcast and we don't do anything. We just cash in on that sweet Harmontown gold.
And without further ado, let's hit them with episode one, Achieving Weightlessness.
Wouldn't that be great? That's like a Patreon tier, is like we just listen to Harmontown. You'd have to pay me a lot to do that.
And this is not to be disparaging to any or all of our Harmontown fans out there, but I think there's people who would listen to a podcast where we just replayed a podcast that they already have. Look, if I can't get a sponsorship from Frenette motherfucking Branca, then they don't know what they're doing over there in Milan, Italy.
Yeah, of course, I have my sights set lower. I want to be sponsored by Magic Spoon because I love the taste of cereal, but I don't love all that sugar, Jeff. And Magic Spoon, they got no sugar. They got 2 net carbs and all the protein you could ask for. It's packed full of protein. These are practically proteins. They come in 4 different flavors as well as 2 special limited edition flavors, peanut butter and cinnamon. That could be fun.
We're also sponsored by sponsored by Monsanto.
Monsanto, don't plant our seeds unless you pay us money first, or we'll fucking sue you into the dirt, you pieces of shit.
Monsanto, we ruined food for everybody forever. Go fuck yourself. We'll see you in court, Monsanto.
Monsanto, we'll see you in court.
Let's get a COVID update. How is your health? Because we thought we lost you for a while. Spencer had me very alarmed because we didn't hear from you for like 24 hours. And we just, Spencer immediately went to, he's dead.
I thought he got hit by a bus. But last we heard, Kevin, when I heard of him last, he's mostly recovered, but he's smelling random whiffs of cigarette smoke, which seems to be a COVID symptom. Any new fun symptoms?
No, still just that one, actually. I just randomly smell cigarette smoke. I can be alone in the house, and all of a sudden it's just like, oh, someone's smoking here. It's the weirdest. Yeah.
Has it affected your dream life in any way? Do you remember your dreams?
I don't think it's mattered that much, but I'm sleeping so much more now, so I'm just dreaming a lot more now because I'm just sleeping all the time.
Right.
Still. Like, you know, I got this back in November, and I'm still tired all the time.
Marilyn Manson, speaking of being in hot water right now, Maryland's really in the broiler right now. I can't believe he kicked out Jordy White, Twiggy, the longtime bass player, back in the day when he got Me Too'd. And this is early Me Too days, I think. And he tossed out Jordy. Whether right or wrong, I don't really know the details about it. I know that Jordy used to be a very, you know, addicted drug addict and was pretty wild. And has changed a lot and has been sober forever. And did he deserve it? That's up to you to decide. But I remember thinking, there's no way that Manson isn't guilty of everything, the same stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of a ballsy move to go, you're out of here for treating women wrong. Like really? That's going to come and get you.
I will not have this under my roof.
Yes. Marilyn Manson, also sponsored by Indochino.
Indochino. Suits so good, you could suck your own dick.
One time I had a dream where I was sucking my own dick.
Sure.
I was going down on a girl. I was going down. I know I've told this in Harmontown, but I just don't care. Because unlike other people, I don't remember Harmontown. I was there, but only kind of in concept. And I had a dream where I was going down on a very attractive gal. And then all of a sudden, instead of a vagina, it was my dick. And I started sucking my own dick attached to this woman.
Sure.
And I was not super into it. But I thought, I don't want to be homophobic, so I had to finish the job.
Right.
I'll let you... Kevin, please Google away and find out what that means. I mean, I think we know what it means. I have... I've got issues.
Oh, I just looked it up, and it says, Jeff, that was no dream. So
that's a, that was
a,
no dream?
That's a fun callback, right?
Yes. That was no dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dream Encyclopedia says that means you need some true love and care. You're expressing a desire to escape from your daily responsibilities.
Okay, we get back to that. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
This is we're not looking anything up. We're just bullying you. We're just like, you know what?
You guys, it's that
you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, it means you're a fucking dick. Another 19, Spencer. I'm fucking on fire over here.
Then we got a 14. These are good stats.
No, wait. That was actually a 91. I got a 91.
That's a 16.
Okay. I was fucking, I don't know.
All right, go again.
Shit pistols. Okay, that went everywhere.
Shit pisses?
Okay. Shit pistols.
Oh, shit pisses. All right, you got another 14.
Yeah, shit pisses doesn't make any sense. No. Shit pistols, however.
Hey, you know, shit pisses. All right, I'm loving it. Loving this. Okay, great. So
Monsanto, I'm loving it.
I'm loving
and
it.
By
such
it
a great phrase.
And by it, I mean seeing you in court.
Hell yeah.
That happens podcast. We'll see us in court.
You know, we're pretty low on time, but we'd be remiss if we didn't hit our long running segment, Spencer's News Corner, right? You know, we gotta do
Spencer's News Corner.
All right, today we got some breaking news for you. The Nazis are at it again. So, stay frosty.
Stay frosty.
It's important. Like when the news tells you to stay frosty, like you know some shit's gonna go.
Stay frosty. Yes. Yes. If Walter Cronkite during the Cold War said, "Stay frosty," you'd know that like, some fucking shit was going down.
And coming soon, I'm gonna start a Patreon. It's a rival Patreon to Jeff to show him who's boss. So stay tuned for that. We're gonna try
Spencer,
to outraise Jeff.
Spencer, I will see you in court.
But I wanted to talk to you about my movie pitch. I have this movie pitch.
Okay. Later.
So I haven't told you about this, but okay. So okay. Imagine the date is in the past. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, whose names you might recall. They're gearing up, they're strapping up. We're seeing their homemade videos, these anarchist videos of how the world must pay and stuff, and they're strapping up, grabbing their guns, you know, making their homemade bombs, right? So they show up at Columbine, you know, all ready to rock and roll to commit, you know, one of the biggest shootings in our time. And so they're posted up. I think, historically, they posted up on kind of like a little hill or kind of like an incline. So they had like a good sniper's position, and they're ready to rock and roll. And then what happens? But a green flash of light comes throughout the whole world. And suddenly, who comes out of the school but fucking zombies? All the students, everyone at the school has turned into zombies, Jeff. And they realize we were about to, you know, go down in history as America's villains. But if we stop a zombie apocalypse, we could be heroes, you know?
Yeah. Studio note. So it was, if they had been in the school and not up on their little grassy knoll, they would have also been turned into zombies?
Presumably, yeah. All the faculty, everyone's zombies. There's not a non-zombie in the house.
Right. Okay, and yeah.
Who knows why it was, you know, centered on the school? Maybe like a meteor crashes into the school or something. Who knows, you know?
Right.
Or
there was some zombie there was like one zombie, and then started eating that. Like, so, like, because they were out planning their attack, the two Columbine shooters, would-be shooters,
right?
Something spread rapidly on campus while they were away doing their preparations, and then they realized, like you say, oh, we can now kill zombies and be on the cover of Time magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
Instead of being social pariahs like we were doomed to be our whole lives, we'll actually be, you know, world-renowned heroes. So, you know, they're killing zombies, and the gunfire is like has drawn reports, and so the cops get involved, and the cops show up, and they're like, "No, no, stop shooting! What are you doing?" And they're like, "You don't understand; these are zombies." And so then the cops start getting ate by zombies, and they realize, "Oh, these guys are actually the good guys," and so they actually have to end up like helping and saving the cops, and it's this whole mess. And you know, they eventually they make their way to the library, and there's like way more zombies than they ever thought possible. And so they kind of make their last stand in the hallway, and they're like, if a single zombie gets out of this place, you know, the world as we know it is over. The cops can't handle this, you know. And then like at the very end, they've like, you know, there's a desperate standoff where the zombies are just running into the school and stuff, into the library, and then they kill the last zombie, and then they realize they've both been bitten, and they're like, oh no. The only way to stop the zombie apocalypse is we got to kill each other. And so then they do. And then like a cop is like, you know, they'll never believe, like, no one will ever believe this happened. And then it just gets reported on the news. You know, it's like the biggest school shooting. They're calling it Columbine, you know, and that's like the credit. And I think it could, you know, it's a fun family film. Like, who would, you know?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's high time that we make school shooters the heroes.
Yeah, you know, it really sends a positive message.
It is. It's like they're not, you know, given enough weaponry and bad enough intentions. You know, maybe you and I could also be heroes. Can I pitch a title for your film?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, it's not, I don't know if this is good. I'll keep working on it, but all I've got right now is Column Brains.
Bowling for Zolombine. Nope, that doesn't work.
I would say that's probably going to go straight to a streaming thing more than a major theatrical release.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I pitched it to Quibi, and they immediately exploded. Like, I think that might be what killed Quibi.
Okay, I got another pitch. Maybe it's kind of a sequel, or at least it's part of the, like, it's under the same production company, or they kind of. The 9/11 hijackers are aboard American Airlines flight whatever, and they're ready to hijack the plane and
box cutters drawn.
Yeah, box cutters drawn. I'm in my version. They also have they somehow have guns. They 3D printed some okay. You know. Carbon fiber weaponry, and so like they're way more heavily armed than the 9/11. But again, this is a movie, Spencer. I get to take a little license here. And right before they start to attack the flight attendants and take over the cockpits, they realize that there are snakes on the plane, and they instead turn their military training into protecting the passengers and themselves. You know, it starts as self-interested because they don't want to get eaten by snakes either. And so they start killing those motherfucking snakes on that motherfucking plane. And then they realize they've got the admiration and the adulation of all of these grateful passengers. And again, sometimes all a terrorist or a school shooter needs is just to feel wanted. Loved, respected. So they kill the snakes. I think that's act one. I think it goes somewhere weird after that. Because there's other planes in there. I think there's different. You could do it like Harrison Ford's like on one, like, and it's like a, I don't know.
Fuzzy Knuckles De Quevedo.
De Quevedo. Quevedo. And I'm just dressed mostly in black. Got a cape. I got one of those hats that kind of slants down over one eye so you don't know what's really going on in my mind. And, but I'm also kind of a wine drinker and a joke teller, and I'm a fun loving person until it's time to take out the steel, baby, because I will put daylight in you, if you know what I mean. And so how...
That's what you call your penis.
I call my penis daylight.
Okay, so I guess let me just read this little bit and we'll see where we go. It's not going to be... Well, whatever. I'll just start. Whatever. That happened. Our journey...
It's about to happen. This is about to happen.
Our journey begins.
This is happening, everybody. What? This is that. If you're asking what is happening, this is about to be that.
This is now become that. I am that. Yeah. This are of happening.
Yes. What is now about to happen will eventually have happened, and then it will be known as that. Okay, go ahead, Spencer. I'm sorry. I'm just excited.
Our journey begins in Salt Marsh.
I slam down my beer, and I slam down the mug, or whatever vessel it was served in, onto the bar. And I stand up, and I say, "Everybody, my name is Fuzzy Knuckles. I don't know if any of you are looking for a good time, but I'm going to go down to that haunted house and see what's what. Any one of you that thinks that you're tough enough and got the stuff enough and can get rough enough is very welcome to come along with me. If you want me, I'll be outside. And if you don't have the guts, stay exactly where you are. I will only be judging you silently."
All right. So, yeah, you head outside. And almost immediately after, a large figure approaches, and it is the copper warforged that you saw earlier. He's gleaming in the lack of sun, even in the, what do you call it, the overcast midday of today, the dreary coastal kind of, badness.
Haze?
Haze, the coastal haze.
Inversion layer?
Brightly. That's what I was looking for. How did you know?
We got a small inversion layer. It's going to blow off by 3 p.m. But go ahead.
He goes, "Hello, baby."
It's the big bopper.
The big copper.
The big copper.
That's me, baby. I heard you looking for a real man. Now, I may not got the guts, but I got the gears for what you're looking at.
What's your name, Stout Copper Man?
I am named the Big Copper.
Oh, you just said that.
Oh, yeah. And I don't really know how he talks other than just saying that one phrase, so I might just sound kind of weird.
No, you sound like you could have a pretty successful music career as long as you stay out of airplanes.
I'll make a note of that, and also, what's an airplane?
I don't know, I'm drunk.
I don't know why you show up to these either.
Welcome to That Happens. The shit's about to happen, where everything that happens is that. Speaking of Happuccinos, you know how I have a love-hate affair, mostly hate affair, with pun names of businesses. They tend to be hair salons and pet grooming places, especially. Mm. Like, you know, hair groomers like are Sheer Madness and, you know, things like that. I thought of, and it was also coffee places. There's a lot of coffee puns, at least there were back in the day, mm-hmm. before Starbucks ruled the earth. But I wanted to open a pirate-themed cappuccino restaurant, like coffee mm-hmm. place, where from the waist up, all of the baristas had to dress like full-on pirates with, like, you know, fake parrots on their shoulder. And then below the waist, like Gap khaki pants. And it would be called Cappuccinos.
That's great.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's all I have.
It's great. Speaking of pet groomers, there's this one pet groomer around our area that you may have heard of this before, but it's called Indiana Bones and the Temple of Groom.
Okay, see, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's so hard. It goes so hard that it actually loops back over into being good.
I may have told this... We should also call the show, I may have said this in Harmontown, but did I ever tell you, Spencer, about my business plan for a brunch restaurant that while you eat brunch, sorry, big helicopters going overhead. While you're having your brunch, you can get your dog groomed at the same time, like while you wait. So as you're eating, your dog is being groomed. Have I told you about this business model?
This sounds vaguely familiar, but keep yes, going.
What was yours? Indiana Bones and the Temple of Groom? Yeah.
It's not mine. This exists.
It's fantastic. Well, mine is the brunch restaurant / dog groomers, and it is called Barky Bark and the Funky Brunch.
Yeah. See, that's like it's about the same level of intense as Indiana Bones and the
Indiana Bones and the Temple of Groom is fantastic.
It's really good
because, like, we've talked about before, the slippery slope and the tightrope act of the portmanteau, putting, like, smashing two words together to make a new word. Mm-hmm. Usually they're stupid. There's one or two great ones, because I hate most of them. They make me want to punch my own earballs. But, like, Spooktacular is fantastic. Spooktacular is one of the great portmanteaus, because if you have a haunted house and you call it a spooktacular, that's great. Now try to think of another way to describe a haunted house in a portmanteau where it's scary and it's awesome. I've tried. You can't. Spooktacular is the best. Mm-hmm. I do not like that at Disneyland, when I worked there, and probably to this day, they don't call their parades parades. They call them street-taculars.
Ugh.
That's stupid. Yeah. That doesn't work. I don't like words like nutraceuticals or edutainment.
Nutraceuticals? I like edutainment.
Edutainment, My brother used to work at a seafood restaurant in the San Diego area, and he was a bartender at the, I can't think of the name of the restaurant, but kind of a well-known, like, California chain of seafood restaurants, and they would have their annual Excrabaganza.
Oh, I love that.
I love that one. Excrabaganza is fucking great.
Yeah. Oh, wait, but first we got to crack into our famous news segment.
Oh, right. Yes, we cannot go forward until we do. Beep, 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 news.
Kevin, do you have a news sound effect to play? Because, you know, we got so many submissions for our fans.
News time, news time, news time. Wait, sorry, play that again. I like that. Can I hear that one more time?
Can you play it again, though?
News time, news time, news time.
In today's news, the Nazis are at it again, Jeff. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, shit.
That's it for the news.
All right. I've been Terry Gross. Thank you for listening to NPR News. And our guest, Frosty. Spencer Crittenden. Spencer Crittenden has a new book called Everybody Doesn't Poop. Spencer, do you want to give us a blurb on your book?
Yeah, so I'm sick of the lamestream media trying to pretend that everybody poops. I haven't pooped in 20 years, and there's a lot more people like me. But of course, the liberal media doesn't want to cover this sort of thing. You know, they say it's not appropriate dinner conversation. They say that there's a call coming in right now. But we all know this is just left-wing bias, Jeff. Or Terry, I should say. All right, go for it. Roll it up.
19.
There you go. That's going to hit. And so your damage is what? 1d4?
Would you say that happened?
That happened. You hit him with your claws.
Doom, 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 doom,
doom, doom, doom. He said the secret word.
Hello, this is Terry Gross. Every time the word that happens is said, everyone gets a free happuccino at your local cappuccinos.
Warm it up on a hot plate.
Let's get back to the game. I'm Terry Gross from NPR.
The big copper is like, playtime's over, baby.
And, get a big copper.
He levels his coin hand at the big guy, Chester Compression himself, and he fires a coin, and you hear the pop of the sound beer being broken as he does that. And he takes 12 damage as the coin just beams him in the chest and knocks the wind out of his breath. And it knocks him just clean off the cliff. And so he's sailing down off the cliff into the ocean below. And he's out of breath, but he's like, you haven't seen the last of Chester Compression. And then he plushes into the water. And at this, all of his mini poop men, they kind of jump off after him to kind of rejoin his body. And you can see them kind of plunking into the water. The big copper's like, that was fucked up. I sell propane.
You smell propane or you sell propane?
Both.
Oh, shit. Well, well, I mean, that's probably why you smell propane. If you're a propane salesman, that stands to reason that you might have a little residue.
You see, that's why I like you, baby. You know just what to say.
I never thought I'd say this, Spencer. I'm throwing some more fucking Major Melon on that.
That's sweet. I feel the same way. I think it needs a little
more. That's the good stuff. And I have had a pull off of my Earthshine. Does alcohol go bad?
Okay, there
we
are.
It tastes normal.
I've got it.
Okay, describe the flavor to us.
It's almost kind of like, it's a tiki drink almost, because basically the Major Melon is pretty much just watermelon flavored punch. And so it's almost like a tiki drink. It's somewhere kind of like a zombie or maybe a Mai Tai without the rum. But I got to tell you, I'm not mad at this one bit. Also, Spencer, I've never seen you just drink hard booze before. I didn't really think of you as a hard drinking dude.
I don't drink much at all. And I'm sure over the course of this next hour or so, we're going to find out why. Let's just say that it's a good thing we're socially distanced and not in the same place, or I would start punching people out.
Totally. I'm going to throw a little bit more turkey in here.
All right. Okay. I think I'm going to die. I think this is going to kill me.
Oh, that's it. Kevin, go a little spirit forward. Put a little more booze in there.
That's a good idea.
Okay. You're not going to regret it, Kevin.
See, I'm not a drinker, so this is going to be a fun next few hours for me.
Yeah, I'm also not a drinker.
Kevin, you survived COVID just barely. There's no way that this drink is going to put you over the edge. You're a rough and ready motherfucker.
This is probably more alcohol than I've had in the last 6 months combined in this glass right
now. Okay, also, yours is enormous. Is it a pint glass?
It's a tall Collins glass, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay.
I was going to water it down a lot, but let's see. Okay, I've added some more. Get the knife.
That's
scary.
It's like a kitchen knife. Yeah.
No,
that's all I had handy.
Yeah, it's what Michael Myers kills you with if you're Jamie Lee Curtis.
I don't like whiskey, and I wasn't a huge fan of the Major Melon. Together, they are better. I'll give you credit for that.
I don't know. Is this good podcasting? I mean, not to shit on everything. I'm glad if you had to guess.
This is terrible. three white guys making a drink? That's not a good podcast. Anybody that's still listening is a bad person as well. So, yeah. We'd like to thank the few remaining listeners for sticking around. Because really, this is not great podcasting in any way. Kevin, I'm picturing absolutely nude and just oiled up like a Virginia ham.
You ever get oiled up, Kevin?
Not for a while, but yeah, thank you.
Squeeze into some tight spaces, maybe?
Yeah.
Who is more snowflakey than people that feel bullied by every fucking thing that happens to them, that the world is out to get them? Right. It's like everybody, the Mexicans are gonna steal my job that I would never do anyway because I don't work in that industry. I'm not gonna go out and fucking clean strawberries. The idea that anybody's trying to fuck you over, steal your girlfriend, enlarge your misshapen penis. Tiny corkscrew penis.
The Mexicans are trying to enlarge my penis. They're coming across the border and enlarging my penis.
Actually, I misspoke. It's mostly the Salvadorans who are doing that. The Mexicans are involved in much more complicated stuff. The Salvadorans, there's a huge epidemic of them trying to enlarge white Republican male penises just so everybody can calm the fuck down. Oy.
Okay, oh, okay. What have we done? What are we doing?
What have we done? Oh, boy.
I don't know. I'm going to be so bad for Kelly's show later. All right.
That's fine.
Sorry, we have another show after this. God damn it.
Even
worse, I'm supposed to go over to Robbie Falk's house and have pizza. He and Donna are making pizza. And I have been spending all day trying to learn a song. Normally, I'm a quick learner on songs. I've been trying to learn and play on guitar Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Wow.
Did you know the booby do the flappy flap? I fucking can't. It's just a song. It will not stick. Ba ba da ba da ba da da da.
Baby, I wanna be no, wanna be no, kiss my name. Ooh, I wanna be no, little thing to the field, yeah. Yeah, now that your rose is the moon, the light is the moon on a grave.
Sorry, okay. I thought that would be good for the show.
Can I invite you over for the pizza party so you can fucking just fill in for me? Because you certainly know the melody better than I do. I think you and I have the same sort of grasp on the lyrics. A river's yeah. here, a flower's here. All right.
Oh, baby. The big bopper. Big copper. I'm drunk. Shut up. Everybody shut up. You know what? Everybody who's watching this, get the fuck out of here. We're going to finish this out without an audience.
I'm going to call the big coppers and have them sent over to your place and have you arrested.
Go with God.